Dublin's independent radio music there from Depeche Mode. You will not hear a version like that anywhere on a radio station in North Alabama. Heck, you might not even hear Depeche Mode on a radio station in North Alabama. That's called Personal Jesus. I'm Jay Fuller. It's 2 o'clock on a Tuesday, and time for Sports Talk Live. We do this program each and every Tuesday and Thursday at 4 o'clock. We are Live 95, WRJMLP Coleman. Sports Talk Live is brought to you in part each and every week by our friends at People's Bank, who also bring you Where's Moolah and the Player of the Week. And also, they bring you this program in part. So, time for Sports Talk Live. Here are your hosts, Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes. And from what I understand, they've got a lot to talk about today.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Jay. Hey, Ronnie. How's it going?
Hey, Jason. How are you, man?
A beautiful day, and as
gorgeous.
We said, we're in here, but we're going to be in here talking about basketball and... At 5:15, most people that follow me on Facebook or friends with me on Facebook, not follow me, but have seen Jack Williams going to be on with us to talk about the death of UAB football.
I tell you what, he's everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
He's like a ghost.
Anytime
like,
you turn the TV on now, if the news is on, he's there. So.
And he was here earlier in the year, I know, or a couple of months or so ago, or maybe more than that once when I was out.
And it is getting nastier by the day. We'll ask him about it, but he has called the UAB president, Mr. Watts, called him a liar.
Called for his resignation.
Yeah, and Jack has been on ESPN, has an article written on ESPN.com, and so making news all across the nation, and he's going to be right here with us today. Well, not with us, but he will be with us in voice.
That's right, and that's just as good.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I'm just amazed that the story is still there. That's still big, and honestly, it seems to be gaining some momentum, and it's growing. And I guess because of the efforts that Mr. Williams or Jack, whatever, is putting forth, is keeping on the forefront. I think he's probably the driver. He's driving this bus. I would say
he's playing for keeps. That's for sure. He's either going to go down in this a big hero or everybody's villains.
Right. Right.
And he is not making friends with some of the power players at the University of Alabama.
I bet he's not.
Bear Bryant Jr. and some local Coleman folks that we won't name at this time. But,
sure.
He's not a popular guy. Jack actually, from here in Coleman, went to school at Cold Springs. His father was principal at Cold Springs back in the 70s and then left out, moved to Birmingham, and has had a pretty nice career in politics.
Yeah. So. Who knows?
You never know. He was actually the ball boy.
What about that?
I think at Cold Springs basketball team. So come a long way.
You never know where you never know where a kid's going.
That's right.
How they're going? What's going to happen when they grow up?
So kids, if you're listening,
be real careful.
Be real nice to everyone. And Nanny said, be careful.
It's like the old. There's an old saying: be careful the toes you step on today. It might be the rear end you have to kiss tomorrow.
That's right.
So, hey, you never know. We've all gone.
That's what I kept trying to tell all those people who wanted to bully me in high school. Back off.
That's right.
I'm your boss.
Okay.
Maybe not really. But.
And I'm not in any way calling Jack a nerd because I really he was older than I was, and I don't know what he was.
No.
Are you trying to call me it? No, never mind.
But, these nerds that you think are nerds in school are usually, as you said, your boss one of these
days.
That's
right. So.
They're not a nerd for no reason.
No, there's a lot going on in that brain.
While people like us were playing ball and chasing skirts, they were opening the book.
That's
right. Making a living.
Exactly. So that's just that's just some free advice to you. If you're a school age student, be careful.
And it's funny how things look different when you get out of school.
Get that
and look
right.
At it.
Absolutely. Be careful who you who you pick at or who you give a hard time.
And
you might be wanting to work for them someday.
Yeah. Speaking of nerds, how about the nerd of the NCAA basketball tournament, probably UAB? A lot of people, said they didn't have any business being there, even though they won the conference tournament.
That's right.
It would be ugly. They get a upset before falling to UCLA. So.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they had a chance to beat UCLA.
I did, too.
It didn't turn out that way.
I tell you what, right now, and I understand Bruce Pearl, and I understand, at least I think I know what he's going to, be able to do with that program. However, right now, today, by far, the best basketball program in state Alabama is UAB Blazers.
Oh, yeah, no question about it.
You know, Jason, not only did they make the tournament, regardless of how they made it, they made it. They won a game in the tournament. And as you said, they got beat by UCLA to get to the Sweet 16. They were the youngest team in the tournament. The field of 64, if we want to say the field of 64, they were the youngest team in the tournament. He's going to have basically everybody back. And young, I'm talking about freshmen and sophomores.
And you can tell by watching them when they play in spurts, as a young team will do. But when they are on, they're on, and they hit the boards. They can shoot the ball. I mean, you give them another year or 2 years.
I make a prediction right now. UAB is in the Sweet 16 next year.
I don't doubt that at all. If they have the same coach,
that's right,
back next year, and he's going to be a hot commodity.
He is. You know, it's funny how. You know, Jason, a win in the NCAA, just a win in the NCAA tournament for some people just catapults them into a much better job. And, of course, I know we're going to talk, we'll talk some more later about the Alabama situation and, you know, who they're looking at. Of course, you know, everything you hear and you see, you know, it's Marshall from Wichita State, and, you know, we'll share our opinions a little bit later on whether, you know, we think that's possible, not possible, whatever
maybe
the case
Alabama
may be.
Maybe Alabama could go to UAB and get a coach.
Yeah, they may do.
Boy, that would hurt some pride.
If they were going to do that, they would have hired Anderson when he was there.
That's true.
But you know as well as I.
No, that ain't.
There's
gonna
never going to be a coach at UAB that's going to go to Tuscaloosa.
No,
they're not going to allow that.
I don't think in our lifetime, unless it is legislated by the government, that Alabama will even play UAB unless they catch them in a tournament.
Yeah.
Or something, it'll be the only way they ever play. UAB to the University of Alabama is second class.
That's right.
And
Auburn's about the same way, though.
Yeah, but Auburn has played them.
They have.
Football, basketball.
Yeah.
Alabama, no.
That's
not going to happen.
I tell you what I'd like to see, Jason, and we won't see it, is right after the SEC tournament, football, not the tournament, the SEC championship game. Would it not be nice the next weekend, say, that you play at BJCC and you play a little round robin thing with Auburn, you know.
Oh yeah.
Alabama, UAB, and then someone else. You know, I mean, they used to do that in UAB, not necessarily the 14, but they would play a little round robin thing. You know, you go down
UAB
and watch two
had
days.
In fact, I think it was before the Iron Bowl.
That's I think.
Auburn was in it, UAB, and they would get like you said a couple more teams.
Yeah.
One year, Auburn played UAB, and I was down there. I think Barkley was playing it.
Okay.
So long ago,
right?
But was at that game, and that would be a money maker.
Sure it would. And would it not energize basketball in the state of Alabama? I mean, come on, you know.
And basketball needs energizing.
It needs energizing in the state of Alabama. Certainly, Bruce Pearl is going to help that because everybody across the country knows who Bruce Pearl is. You put him in front of a camera, and he's just like, you know, he's right at home. He relates so well to the community and the students. You know, I mean, basically, he's a kid in an old man's body.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
how old is Bruce Pearl?
He's got to be in his upper 50s.
Yeah, I think he's older than we are, and he's got a lot more energy.
Yeah, one
than
of
I
his yeah his son
focus.
His son's assistant coach there with him at at Auburn. But I would just love to see that where Alabama, Auburn, UAB and somebody else, a Troy, anybody,
Let's get four teams from the state of Alabama.
Yeah,
and
play a little round robin thing for 2 days.
I would be a yearly ticket buyer.
Sure, it's a win-win for most of the schools. It's certainly a win-win for the fan base. It's a win-win for the state, and it would draw from all over. But I would never see where the University of Alabama would accept that.
Mm.
Because a loss to UAB would be just like slapping your mother in the face.
But here's the news for those powers at the University of Alabama. As you said earlier, before we even started talking about this, UAB is the best basketball program in the state.
There's no question.
Wake up Auburn, wake up Alabama.
And probably will be for the next at least 3 years.
You want to be the best, you got to beat the best.
I'm with you.
So let's tip it up.
I'm with you.
And see if Alabama or Auburn, either one, could beat UAB. Wouldn't happen this year.
I don't think so.
And especially next year and the year after.
I don't think it'll happen either one of those.
So,
And I hate to say it, but I didn't know one single kid that played on UAB's team.
I didn't know.
And they're 50 miles down the road. Right. And then I watch them play on the TV, and I'm thinking, man, I wish I had gone down during the season and watched them play some.
I had the same thought.
Yeah.
But last time I was at UAB is when they played North Carolina in the NIT, and that's been, four or five years ago.
Yeah. Probably. I mean, it's a great place to go watch a game.
Oh, yeah.
It's a nice arena, about 9,000. You seat about 9,000, not a bad seat in it. But I bet you this ticket will probably be harder to come by next year.
No doubt.
I would hope.
Yeah.
You know, I would hope.
And I'd like to see everything stay intact at UAB as far as the basketball and just see what they do.
Do you think Jared Haas will be back next year?
Oh, man, that is, I'd say 50-50 right now.
I think he will.
You think he will?
I think he'll be back next year. Now, if he has a really good year and they can get to the Sweet 16, I would say he would be leaving UAB in a cloud of dust.
And can't blame him.
No.
You never know when they're going to close the program.
That's it. Absolutely. You never know when they're going to shut that one down, too. So that's just my opinion. You know, I think they're going to have him for one more year, and if he has another good year at UAB and can get in the tournament in advance, I think he'll be gone to another program.
Yeah, there's little to no doubt. UAB's not going to fund the kind of dollars that's going to take to keep him if he stays hot. And
that's the key.
The board of trustees is the same board that runs the University of Alabama,
right.
The University of Alabama in Huntsville. And so, no, won't happen. If it was at the University of Alabama, you know, they would sell their grandmother if they had to.
That's right.
And they may have to do that if they get the coach they want at the University of Alabama. So.
Well, they're going to pay more, you know. They're going to have to pay more than what they were, you know, what they paid, you know, Anthony Grant.
How about this? They will be paying more for a basketball coach than they were paying for a football coach prior to Nick Saban.
I think I would probably agree with that.
Yeah,
and I know we'll talk about it more later. If you, what do you think it's going to take? Okay, we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves, and we'll talk about Bama later.
We can always rerun.
We can.
We're on a roll. Let's go.
We're on a roll. Okay, here's my question. They want Marshall. Now, did you hear Marshall on the radio?
No.
He was on the radio.
I heard some comments he made, but
he basically, and I'm paraphrasing what he said, was he would listen to Alabama if they have some kind of crazy offer.
Crazy offer.
Crazy offer. Now, well, you know, I don't know that if that was the best choice of words.
Right.
1-8, I think. 1-7, 1-8 at Wichita State.
I'm thinking his crazy is probably 3.5.
At a minimum.
Yeah.
That would double. But I don't think they can get him for 3.5.
Oh,
I think it's going to take.
Surely.
I think it'd take $4 million to get him.
I don't think they'd get him then. I don't think Alabama will shell out. There's a big difference in 3.5, even though it's $500,000. There is a monster difference in 3.5 and $4 million. It's like $1.99 and $2.
If you want somebody bad enough and you offer them straight up, right off the bat, $3.5 million, you don't think they would go to $4
million? Yeah, probably so. Yeah.
Because if that's their first offer, that's certainly not going to be their highest offer.
Oh, yeah.
Now, my question is
not
that...
buying a car.
That's right. Is that offer... You know, I don't know. Maybe he could have used a better choice of words than them offering, you know, making a crazy offer. You know, I don't know. That's splitting hairs. Bottom line is, you make $1.8 million, somewhere in that neighborhood. And let's just hypothetically say, University of Alabama offers you $4 million.
I wouldn't even pack. I would get the pictures and my family and maybe the dog. And
here's the problem, in my opinion. Wichita State does not even have football. He is the kingpin at Wichita State.
And he made the statement that he would never go anywhere.
So would he, even for $4 million, would he be willing and can he accept the fact that even at $4 million, you are not the big man on campus?
Even at $4 million, you're making half what the football coach is making.
Right. So, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. It's all going to play out.
If I'm him and I'm happy at Wichita State, no doubt he's living comfortably on $1.8 million.
Right.
I stay where I'm at. You beat Kansas. You're the king of the state.
He's the king of the state right now. You know,
he probably go in McDonald's get a free hamburger.
Oh, absolutely. So it's got to be, Jason, something. I know we got to go to a break. It's got to be something, I believe, other than just money.
What else does Alabama have to offer in the basketball area other than money? And I would say the same thing about Auburn.
If absolutely.
They were looking, what do they have to offer? What would interest a coach of that caliber to come other than the dollar sign?
I agree.
And I don't see anything.
It's not the history. You can't sit down and talk about the history of the program and all the great things that's happened. Even though, you know, during the Wimp Sanderson years, and then even that right there at the beginning when Godfrey was there, you know, Alabama, through the years up until, you know, the 2000s, I guess, late 90s, 2000s, you had Kentucky in the SEC, and right below Kentucky, or below Kentucky, you had Alabama. They had the most, got the most wins, you know, tournament appearance, you know, SEC won a bunch of SEC tournaments. So, you know, years ago, they were right below Kentucky.
And I would like to see that again.
I would, too.
Even an Auburn fan, I would pull for Alabama basketball.
Yeah, so. But right now, in 2015, we all agree they're below Kentucky, but they're not the next one in line.
No, not even close. All right, the number, 256-737-9951. We'll be right back and talk about the Sweet 16.
Yeah, a little local sports. Yeah. We need to touch on that, too. So.
Who's left, who's went home, and so forth. And Jack Williams coming up at 5:15 to talk about UAB football. You're listening to Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Coleman, Alabama.
From the ARN News Center, I'm Derek Scudder. A federal court has ruled in favor of two environmental groups that challenged a permit process they said will allow coal mines to fill miles of streams with dredged materials. Black Warrior River Keeper and Defenders of Wildlife sued the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in 2013. Joyce Garrard has been convicted of capital murder, and now her defense team will begin presenting their case to spare her life from a death sentence. The 49-year-old Etowah County grandmother's been found guilty of running her 9-year-old granddaughter to death as a punishment. A North Alabama woman with a past drug arrest is working as a case manager for an alternative sentencing program. Hartsel resident Brandy Steele is working with the Morgan County Community Corrections Office years after her 2008 arrest on a charge of possessing meth. Her charge was dismissed after she successfully completed a drug court, but the county has a policy against hiring employees with a drug history. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Documents released by State Representative Jack Williams show that despite the claim UAB President Ray Watts has made that a decision to end the school's football, bowling, and rifle programs was not made until November, a public relations firm working with UAB had already put a timeline in motion for announcing the end of the program in September. A former sheriff's deputy who was a school resource officer in Jackson County has been indicted on charges that he sexually abused a student more than a decade ago. Lee Perry was a school resource officer at Skyline School in 2003 and 2004. State House Speaker Mike Hubbard is facing 23 felony ethics charges of using his public office for financial gain. The trial's expected to begin in October. Meanwhile, he's claimed there were problems in the investigation against him and violations of the Grand Jury Secrecy Act. State prosecutors have asked a judge to block his efforts to subpoena Attorney General Luther Strange to testify and to reject his motion to dismiss those charges. I'm Derek Scudder, ARN News. In money news, a modest rebound in gas costs and broad gains in other categories lifted consumer prices for the first time in 4 months, a sign inflation may be stabilizing. The Labor Department says the Consumer Price Index rose 0.2% in February after dropping 0.7% the previous month. January's decline was the biggest in 6 years. Gas prices have plummeted since June, dramatically lowering inflation. Consumer prices were unchanged in the 12 months ending in February, yet excluding gas, prices have been more stable. A new study says that the gender pay gap exists even in nursing, an occupation dominated by women. Researchers found that among registered nurses, women's salaries average about $5,000 less than men's. Taco Bell is unveiling its newest breakfast menu concoction. The Chicken Biscuit Taco is replacing the fast food chain's infamous Waffle Taco. I'm Derek Scudder. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
back with you for 23, and Ronnie, the weather today couldn't be any more beautiful.
Oh, it is absolutely gorgeous. Wesley and I went and played nine holes this morning, played a little golf. Well, this morning about 10 o'clock, and it was covered up.
Before I left the office coming this way, Daphne had told me I needed to get the motorcycle out. It'd be a perfect
day. Oh, man.
Boy, that'd give me the fever.
Tomorrow?
I bet I met 15 motorcycles from the office to here.
Have you cranked yours?
Not even cranked. I know it's going to need a new battery and cleaned up. It's set in the garage all winter.
Just like getting a studio out there.
Hey, what kind of battery? Is that just like a... What kind of battery goes on that?
It looks something like what's on a
CD. It's like a CD?
Yeah.
You know, you can get those little trickle chargers.
Yeah, I bought one of those when I bought the motorcycle, and it has vanished.
Oh, it has vanished.
I have looked high and low, and so it must be somewhere in the middle, because I cannot find it.
Well, I put one on my Sea-Doo this winter, and I'll see if it cranks. But they say you put that trickle charger, a little bit, it's just a little small thing. Put that on there, and they
my motorcycle's already wired for it. I mean,
just plug it in.
And dummy me, can't find it.
So you probably are going to buy another battery.
I'm going to buy a battery.
That'd be $100.
Oh, yeah.
Even a cheap one, probably.
Yeah, those batteries, if you let it go,
they're done, aren't they? That's exactly right. Hey, Jason, before we get started, into the NCAA or talking about, Alabama basketball or whatever else, let me run through what's going on in Cullman County today as far as sports. And it's a great day to get out and see some, see some high school action outside, whether it's baseball or softball. Soccer, tennis, golf, whatever the case may be. So let me run through those games that's taking place right now, and then we'll go from there. Baseball, Cullman is at Decatur today, Cold Springs at Addison, Fairview at Russellville, Locust Fort at Good Hope, Hampsville at Vinemont, Holly Pond at Susan Moore, and West Point at Lawrence County. Now, that's high school baseball. As far as high school softball, we got Addison's at Brilliant, which is a pretty good haul over to Brilliant. Vinemont is at Cold Springs, Locust Fort at Good Hope, Holly Pond at Susan Moore, Appalachian at St. Bernard, West Point at Arab. Again, that's girls softball. Soccer, Cullman at Fort Payne, that's boys. J.B. Pennington at Fairview, that's boys and girls. Two different teams, not co-ed.
I hear you. That's why I like it.
That's right. And New Hope at St. Bernard, boys and girls soccer. Golf is going on as well today. Fairview, Good Hope, Hansville. They're all playing at the Hansville Invitational Tournament. That's probably played, I don't want to say where it's played because I'm not sure. So I won't say.
All right.
That's somewhere in the county.
Keep it quiet.
It's either it's Chesley, it's Terry Pines, or it's Cullman Municipal.
Instead of where's Moolah, that's right. Where's the golf?
Where's the golf? That's right. So again, it's Fairview, Good Hope, and Hansville in the Hansville Invitation, boys and girls. We got one tennis match going on today. That's Victory Christian at St. Bernard Boys. Victory Christian at St. Bernard Boys. And that's locally. What's going on outside on the diamonds or the soccer fields or the golf course?
Refresh my old memory.
Yes.
The Cullman County Baseball Tournament was put off into April.
April, that's right. I think it's 13th, 14th, 15th, somewhere in that area, that neighborhood.
They need to consider leaving that in April instead of trying to play it when snow is still on the ground.
Yeah, they usually play it right off the bat, first thing in baseball.
Which don't tell you a lot. When you roll right out of basketball and play the county baseball tournament the next week.
Yeah. But that's locally what's going on as far as sports, Jason. And of course, we've got, we'll talk a little bit about it maybe toward the end of the show, just throw it out there. A little bit of NIT action. There's still some, not necessarily local teams playing, but some that you might be interested in the NIT. I doubt it. But,
boy, Alabama possible. Covered the Coliseum up for the NIT.
Yeah.
What was it, 2,200 or something like that?
Now, you're talking about when they played at
Tuscaloosa? At
Tuscaloosa. Yeah, they said
I think there was less than that at Miami.
Oh, it was bad. It was bad. Somebody said at Tuscaloosa it wasn't even, 20% capacity. Well, so that's...
NIT playing for 69th place now.
Yeah.
It used to be they were playing for 65th.
That's right.
69th place.
That's right. But
Does anybody care other than people
directly tied to it?
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
who cares?
If your family members or if you're a college, well, honestly, I guess you would say most of the college students are not, they're not interested. No. You know,
apparently.
Apparently, that's pretty obvious they're not interested, you know, so, but Alabama went down this past Saturday to Miami of Florida, and they went down there, and they also went down. So
there's well, that was a early morning game.
10 o'clock in the morning, yeah. It was a good game. I watched it all. I will step up to the plate.
Boy, you were bored.
I got up to watch that. How about that?
You got up to watch it?
Mm-hmm.
At 10 o'clock?
Well, I was going, no, I got up early. Yeah, it sounded like it. I just rolled out at 5 minutes to 10. But I watched all of it. Pretty good first half. Very competitive, close. As a matter of fact, I think Bama was up 4 at the half. And then, you know, same song, different verse.
Miami,
so can't
another
put it
team,
in the hole.
Disappointment this year.
Yeah.
I thought they might make a run at the tournament.
That's right.
Fell a little short.
And you had several teams, you know, that ended up in the NIT that really felt like they should have been in the NCAA or had every opportunity. Louisiana Tech, that was one of them that, you know, that UAB beat in the Conference USA tournament and knocked Louisiana Tech out of the NCAA. And they played the other night. Don't know who won. But they were playing in the NIT the other night, and they were winning when I was watching it, and I didn't watch it all. And to be completely honest, I don't even remember who they were playing. For some reason, I want to think they were playing Arizona State, and that's probably not right. I'm no help.
I remember seeing Arizona State's name, but that's about all I
remember. Yeah, well, but they got beat because they fired their coach. I did see that.
That's going around.
That's right. That's going around.
NCAA,
it's like a virus.
Down to the Sweet 16, as
yeah.
we call it. Our bracket couldn't look a lot shot. Worse for me and you.
And can I interrupt?
I want you to explain this one. For anybody that has saw Ronnie's bracket.
If you saw my bracket, and if you had been listening to the show, this started, or my comment that Kentucky would win the national championship just started before the season ever began.
Right.
Am I not right,
you
Jason?
You are correct.
I said all along Kentucky would win the SEC, they would win the NCAA tournament, and they would go undefeated in doing so. And then Jason sent me a text the other day and says, "What? Some basically to the effect, what'd you do, you know, jump off the bandwagon with Kentucky?" You know, I was like, what are you talking about? Well, if you happen to look at my bracket, I now have Kansas as winning the tournament. My bracket was sabotaged.
It was not by me.
No, it was not by Jason. It was by Karen, my wife. She sabotaged my bracket that knocked me out of
it. A woman that would do that to you.
That's right. It's just sad. It's just a sad day in Coleman County.
Yeah, I'd rather my wife cheat on me and mess my bracket up.
So,
now, Kathy, if you're listening, I did not mean
that.
That.
Yes, that's a joke.
Don't think that's a movie.
That's right. So the only thing I can think was, I'm not a techno guy, that's pretty evident, especially with Jason and I sitting here. I don't even have a smartphone. So I just had it written out I just printed out a bracket, and I had written in, you know, the names of the teams I thought would win, like most of us do. So I was calling them out, and Karen was putting them in the computer or on the bracket. And I do not know, if I just called out a letter, like for Kansas was K, or if I said Kansas. However, Kansas went all the way to the national championship and won the national championship.
And where are they now?
They're at the house.
So which really don't bode well for
us. No, it doesn't. So I have no chance whatsoever to help Jason. At one time, I thought, well, this might not be a bad thing. But with Kansas going down, I don't know how I could finish anywhere other than last in the bracket.
Yeah, you're not last, but...
Well, I will be before it's over.
You may be before it's over.
Oh, I guarantee you I will be before it's over.
You are next to last.
Well, there you go.
There's no way to go up.
Are you going to take can you take a super bracket, kind of give us a clue?
I don't know who some of these people are because, you know, the names
the
are
names
right,
are,
but
there to
you'll know
the
who
innocent.
You are.
Yeah.
He just got dunked on, is the leader, and while he's tearing it up, and I think I know who this is.
You think
is,
you know who that one is? But you're
I
not going to
say right now.
Okay. How many points?
480 points.
Okay.
He is correct, 97.2%.
Wow, that's pretty strong. That's pretty good.
And to give you an idea of how strong that is, on ESPN's bracket here on our page. On the far right side, you'll see top groups. And the group name, Catfish, Fry, Amy, or Army. Yeah. Amy.
That's close.
Now I can't see.
It all begins with an A.
Has 506. In second place, the Florida Panhandle players have 471.
So, wow.
Yeah.
So our leader, whomever, and what was it?
Is right in there in top.
The bracket again was what? What's it called?
He just got dunked
He on. Just got dunked on. Okay.
Yeah, and then Bama. Yeah. Bama something.
Okay.
I'm not going to click on it.
All right.
Second, Alex Newton at 470. Very close, 94.8%. And then I know who this one is too. Tony, 429.66 at 450. Jay Collette, 44.2, has 440. And then there's several at 430, 440.
Yeah.
And, Ronnie, let's go back to where we are.
I'm going
to
say, where are you in this, Jason?
I am in ninth place at 420.
So,
and
you're
to give
okay.
you an idea, my percentage, 59.7%.
And our leader is at
97.2.
Pretty stout. What's my percentage?
Ronnie is, oh, wow. Ronnie has 380 points.
Yeah.
Your percentage is 27.2.
Oh, are you serious? 27%.
I don't know what that percentage
is. That can't be.
Yeah,
that's not of your picks.
It can't be.
I've got more right than I've missed.
You've got more right than one out of four.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
No, what, necessarily what that means.
That yeah. All right, we'll be right back. And this time we'll talk
more about
the Sweet 16 and who's left, who's not. And don't forget, 515, Jack Williams, Representative Jack Williams.
That's right. Hey, if you want to talk about the bracket and teams left, or you want to talk Alabama basketball, give us a call, 737-9951. Stay with us, Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Cummins Independent Radio.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
Planning for a new building can be exciting and at times a little stressful. Take the stress out of your construction project and enjoy the experience of constructing a custom Morton building. From planning your new building to watching it take shape, Morton will be with you every step of the way to build your new garage, riding area, horse barn, hobby shop, or machine storage building. Best of all, Morton stands behind every building with the strongest non-prorated, non-pass-through warranty in the industry. Don't wait to get started on your project. Morton is located in Garden City and can be reached at 256-352-0406 or online at www.mortonbuildings.com.
I'm Tommy Warhurst, your Farmers Insurance agent. Protecting what you value most is my job, and I take it very seriously. Is your automobile liability enough to protect all that you've worked for? Does your homeowner's policy carry replacement cost coverage on contents? Or if something happens to you or your spouse, could you stay in your current home? I can help you answer these questions and more at 338-3701 or thewarhurstagency.com. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your Farmers Insurance agent.
We are farmers. Bum, ba-da, bum, 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 bum.
What would that be? About 45 minutes, 46 minutes away from Jack.
Oh, okay.
Going to call Talk UAB, but until then, we're going to talk a little college basketball starting again, I think, Thursday. And
we'll that's right.
A weekend full, and we'll get it down to the Final Four.
Is it Thursday, Friday? It's 26th and 27th. What's today?
Yeah, it'll be Thursday.
Today's the 24th.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday again. So
yep.
Not as many games, but still the same day.
So we'll be through all the way this weekend. By the end of the day on the 29th, we will be through the Elite Eight. Is that right?
We'll be the Final Four.
We'll be down the Final Four. Yeah, exactly. Okay.
And the next weekend, Saturday, will be the first round on the Final Four, and Monday the championship.
Right. So. All right, Jason, you were running through what's left here with the Sweet 16.
Course.
OK, Okay, the first, we are in the Midwest bracket. Certainly this comes as no surprise to anybody. The number one ranked team that I said all along would win the national championship, the Kentucky Wildcats, even though my bracket says I would take Kansas.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that, I think.
Yeah.
Karen's going to call
us. And she's going to verify.
And we're going to have to figure this out. Did you mess this up or did she mess it up? And who's going to be punished?
Well, you and I both are going to be punished because I'm going to finish dead last, so everybody is going to finish in front of me.
Maybe.
So, well, I don't know how they couldn't, you know.
Well, I don't either, but we'll figure out something.
Yeah. That's why I asked you when you let me know. I said, can I go in and change my bracket? And the answer to that was no. Anyway, Sweet 16, here's what we have left. We've got Kentucky, number one ranked team in the country, and certainly number one ranked team in the Midwest, against the West Virginia Mountaineers, who are seeded fifth in this region. Okay, Jason, I'm putting you on the spot. Kentucky or West Virginia?
Kentucky, no doubt about it.
No doubt about it, okay. The other game in that Midwest region has the third seeded Notre Dame Fighting Irish against the number seven seeded Wichita State Shockers.
Now here I'm going to have to go against what I originally thought, and I'm going with the Shockers. I think Wichita is on a mission.
You think they're that hot? You know what I think? I think maybe a lot of people who filled out brackets, maybe like you and I, we sometimes look at how these teams are seeded, and that dictates how we pick them.
Right.
And I don't think, from what I've seen, Wichita State is not a number seven seed in this in that bracket. They might be a number seven seed overall.
Yeah, they beat Kansas, which is no small task.
That's
so
exactly
that tells
right.
You something about Wichita.
Absolutely. So you're taking Wichita State over Notre Dame.
I'm going to do it.
You know what I think it comes down to now, and probably, and I think Brian even or Greg, no, it was Greg, I have to give Greg Smith credit with only best bets. I remember him saying that the better defensive club, that the game slowed down, especially the farther along you get, the better defensive clubs tend to win the ball games, and we'll just see if that plays out, you know, the rest of the way. So you got, again, you have Wichita State beating Notre Dame. Okay, then we've got Wisconsin. This is in the West bracket. They're the number one seed against the number four seed, University of North Carolina Tar Heels. Who you got, Wisconsin or Carolina?
I got to pick Wisconsin, even though I'm going to be pulling big for North Carolina.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. I can't go against the Tar Heels.
Okay.
So.
Now, one of their big guys is probably going to be out.
Wisconsin?
No. North Carolina.
North Carolina? Oh,
is there a Weeks or a Meeks?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, it's one
Tyler
of the...
Tyler with no one
okay.
first down.
I think he has... he's hurt a knee, strained a knee, hyperextended or something, so he's very questionable. For me personally, I'm going to go with Wisconsin. I just think they're more complete. I think they're more consistent. North Carolina, at times, looks like they can beat anybody, and at times they look like they can't beat a soul.
And if they do get on a roll, Roy Williams will make sure the other team stays in it. He'll pull four or five out and put four or five off the bench.
Yeah. So I think Wisconsin wins that one. The second game in the West will be the number six seeded Xavier against number two Arizona. I got a feeling I know where you're going with that.
Arizona in a blowout.
Absolutely, I think so too. Arizona certainly will win that ball game.
Again, Auburn beat Xavier.
Yeah, much better. I think that certainly they're a much better basketball team. They're good.
Yep.
I mean Arizona. You know, as Brian Lacy sat here and said, that's his pick. If anybody can beat Kentucky, for him it's Arizona. For me it was Wisconsin. I think for you it was Notre Dame. I think.
Yeah, but I don't think I'm going to get that chance to see it now.
Yeah, you don't think you'll get to see that. Okay, moving over on the East, to the East bracket. Probably at least one certain surprise here. Number eight seeded North Carolina State will be playing number four seed Louisville.
Give you props. When we were sitting in here with Brian, I called out North Carolina State as a team to watch, and so far they have proved me right.
You're exactly right. Now, I don't remember that, but I'm sure you did it. But you have hit the nail on the head right there. They are now in the Sweet 16, and I think their run is over. I'm taking Louisville.
I'm going to go North Carolina State.
Okay.
I think they're hot, and no other reason, really, because Louisville
got better players. That's all you
need. I think North Carolina just don't need
to. The magic right. Can continue. Okay, the second game in the East has the number 3-seeded Oklahoma Sooners playing the number 7-seed Michigan State. And that's a club I wouldn't want to be playing is Michigan State. And
there's another upset. I'm going Michigan State.
I'm with you. I'm going Michigan State. And there's another one of those cases, Jason, that you got a team sitting there seeded as number 7. I don't think that's the case.
I looked at that, Ronnie, and thought to myself, what has happened to Michigan State this year? Because I hadn't kept up with them.
Yeah.
And I thought, a 7-seed?
Yeah.
And so,
you know, and they were, you know, they were okay during the regular season, Jason. They weren't world beaters by any stretch of the imagination. Their record right now, they're 25-11 in the Big Ten Conference. They were 12-6. You know, pretty good, but not great by any stretch of the imagination. So, but I'm with you. Tom Izzo can get them ready to go during the tournament. The next game is Duke, number 1 seed, against number 5 seed Houston. Duke. Who you got?
They're playing who?
Duke is playing. I'm sorry, Duke is playing Utah. Where did I get Houston?
I don't know.
See, I'm probably the one to blame for
That's
Kansas.
That's exactly where Kansas came from.
Yeah, now I have no clue where Houston came from. Houston's not
Houston
even in this bracket.
Houston and Utah look a lot alike.
So,
hey, Ronnie, we can't put this off any longer.
Okay. We only got one more game.
She's your wife. Call it up.
Okay, one more game. Number 11 seed UCLA gets number 2 seed Gonzaga.
Oh, Gonzaga all the way.
No question. I'll take Gonzaga, too. All right, James.
Okay, Ken, welcome to Sports Talk Live. We want to get one thing straight. Now, what happened to Ronnie's bracket?
Well, nothing sinister.
Okay.
No sabotage. But I'm calling because I refuse to be thrown under the bus.
I see tire pants on your back.
Last Wednesday night, we're doing our brackets because they have to be done on Thursday by noon, I think. So he said, I'll just call out the games, and I'll...
And you put them on the computer. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have my iPad out, and I'm calling out the matchups, and he's giving me the winner of that matchup, and hey, this starts at the Elite Eight. Kansas didn't just show up in the final.
Yeah, they didn't jump in that final game.
He said,
I'm well aware of where they are. Yeah, I'm well aware that they're out now too.
Yeah, but I did not question it. I just.
Well, that's the first time you should have.
Been in there. So lesson learned: fill out your own bracket.
Well, okay.
Hey. He's done other brackets, and this is the only one that has...
My other ones have been on paper, though, so I could write them in.
Well, Karen, if I'm going to have to go with you on this, and because Ronnie just calling out the games told me that who was playing...
Duke was playing Houston.
Duke was playing Houston, and it's Duke and Utah.
Listen, he's over here late at night watching Hannity and trying to do a bracket, and so... Anything can happen.
Yeah, when at mine and Ronnie's age and our condition, we need one thing at a time.
But I did feel sorry for him because I knew he couldn't go back in there and change it. It's locked and loaded, and it's embarrassing.
It's locked and loaded and fired, and it was a dud. Powder got wet. The shot just dribbled out the end of the barrel.
But there's no sabotage. It was just what he told me, and I filled it out, and I won't do it next time.
Well, as I said, I picked Kentucky before the season started, and
she should have known that.
That's right.
Well, I didn't.
She
should have
known that.
I didn't. I did not question him. I just took his word. Whatever he said,
That's a first.
Guys, let me jump in here for a second. If anyone's driving around town right now, you might want to avoid the 69-278 interchange out there. There's a pretty bad wreck out there. So. 69-278. I think that's out there at East Point.
Okay.
Is that right? I think
it is. It's the intersection up from that.
Yeah. Did you see that accident, Karen?
No, I didn't. I did not. It's like we go across to Ingram Farms,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Oh,
I think they had to med flight someone out of there.
Oh, man. Okay.
All right, Karen. All right. Hey, we appreciate you calling and getting that straight, and I'll keep an eye on Ronnie and make sure he gets home.
I was following orders. Yeah. Following orders.
That's a first. See how I screwed that up.
Bye.
All
right.
Thanks, Karen.
I'm sure she'll get right on some supper now.
Yeah, yeah. You probably will have a stop at the store on the
way
home.
Can I come eat at your house? Oh, man. All right. There is the... That's the story behind my bracket being in pieces, and I'm sticking to it. That's right. No way am I changing my mind.
Out of those 16 that's remaining, give me the biggest surprise.
No question. For me, the biggest surprise is North Carolina State.
Yeah, I have to agree.
I think they were probably borderline. You know, they were close to being, you know, the last four right. in or the first four out, those kind of things. Certainly, North Carolina State is my biggest one. Then after that, I would probably pick Xavier, and it has nothing to do with their seeding. You know, it's just what I believe. So, but anyway, after this weekend is over, we'll be down to the Elite Eight, right?
That's it.
Be a good deal.
The music's playing. Means it's time for a break. We'll come back with Where's Moolah? Where's Moolah was taken home last week. And
that's right.
Sandy took it home with her again. Not Cindy. Sandy. So, but
She's laid that thing with a few times too.
Yeah, she knows the cow well.
That's right.
We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live, 95.5 on a Tuesday afternoon.
From the ARN News Center, I'm Derek Scudder. A federal court has ruled in favor of two environmental groups that challenged a permit process they said will allow coal mines to fill miles of streams with dredged materials. Black Warrior River Keeper and Defenders of Wildlife sued the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in 2013. Joyce Garrard has been convicted of capital murder, and now her defense team will begin presenting their case to spare her life from a death sentence. The 49-year-old Etowah County grandmother's been found guilty of running her 9-year-old granddaughter to death as a punishment. A North Alabama woman with a past drug arrest is working as a case manager for an alternative sentencing program. Hartzell resident Brandy Steele is working with the Morgan County Community Corrections Office years after her 2008 arrest on a charge of possessing meth. Her charge was dismissed after she successfully completed a drug court, but the county has a policy against hiring employees with a drug history. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Documents released by State Representative Jack Williams show that despite the claim UAB President Ray Watts has made that a decision to end the school's football, bowling, and rifle programs was not made until November, a public relations firm working with UAB had already put a timeline in motion for announcing the end of the program in September. A former sheriff's deputy who was a school resource officer in Jackson County has been indicted on charges that he sexually abused a student more than a decade ago. Lee Perry was a school resource officer at Skyline School in 2003 and 2004. State House Speaker Mike Hubbard is facing 23 felony ethics charges of using his public office for financial gain. The trial's expected to begin in October. Meanwhile, he's claimed there were problems in the investigation against him and violations of the Grand Jury Secrecy Act. State prosecutors have asked a judge to block his efforts to subpoena Attorney General Luther Strange to testify and to reject his motion to dismiss those charges. I'm Derek Scudder, ARN News. In money news, a modest rebound in gas costs and broad gains in other categories lifted consumer prices for the first time in 4 months, a sign inflation may be stabilizing. The Labor Department says the consumer price index rose 0.2% in February after dropping 0.7% the previous month. January's decline was the biggest in 6 years. Gas prices have plummeted since June, dramatically lowering inflation. Consumer prices were unchanged in the 12 months ending in February, yet excluding gas, prices have been more stable. A new study says that the gender pay gap exists even in nursing, an occupation dominated by women. Researchers found that among registered nurses, women's salaries average about $5,000 less than men's. Taco Bell is unveiling its newest breakfast menu concoction. The Chicken Biscuit Taco is replacing the fast food chain's infamous Waffle Taco. I'm Derek Scudder. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
I'm Tommy Warhurst with Farmers Insurance. When was the last time you sat down with your agent for a review of your coverages? It's probably been a while. But your insurance is about you.
and protecting your family. And you should be a part of selecting the coverage that's best for you and get it at a price that fits your budget. My focus is you and doing what's right for you and your family, all while helping you save money. If you'd like a free insurance review, my number is 256-338-3701, and the website is thewarhurstagency.com.
We are farmers. Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum.
$4.53, the sound of money again. And as we said, Moolah got back in the pasture and got back out again.
Just cannot keep her. Can't keep that fence in good shape.
That cow is something else.
I know.
Thankful to People's Bank for making this segment of the show possible, as well as many other segments of the show. People's Bank working with us pretty much the whole time we've been on the air.
That's right.
Can't thank them enough. If you're in People's Bank, tell them a big hello and thanks for being a sponsor of Sports Talk Live and Where's Moolah. Right. They're paying out big bucks here.
So. That's right, and we appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. So, Ronnie, tell us about Moolah. Let's get this out of the way. Moolah has escaped from Cullman County.
That's right. Moolah has escaped from Cullman County. That's all I'm going to tell you in terms of that she's not local.
Yeah. Now take a guess at that. Anybody want to call?
We'll double the 50.
Is Moolah in your imagination then, I guess?
Yes.
I guess it's
yes.
In your...
Moolah is in our imagination. So, you want me to give the first clue or you
yeah,
give
you
me?
Give, I thought you dropped you it off the at the beach.
Oh, you give the first clue because it's always the same one.
Yeah. The first clue always, we got to get you on the right road.
That's so. Right. And that's a nice that you're willing to do
that.
Oh,
yeah. The right road is, the sum of the road is 13.
That narrows it down.
Sum of the road is 13.
Because that road doesn't go very far in one direction from where we are right here.
Right. So, head west, young man.
That's right. And you've already said that it's not even...
in Cullman County.
That's really
you've got to get across the line.
That's really two clues right there.
Oh, yeah. So, that's freebie today.
There you go. That won't cost you anything. Hey, if you want to guess at where Moolah is, it's 737-9951. Won't cost you a thing. Take a free guess. And it's worth $50.
All right. That's fair enough.
That's fair enough.
Reminder again, in 20 minutes, Representative Jack Williams be on with us to talk about UAB football. And
If you had a radio on any kind of sports talk shows within the last week, you heard the name Jack Williams.
And I would like to...
State representative.
Right. I would like to say that we had inside information and set this up because of this and was able to compete with ESPN.
Absolutely.
And,
we can claim it. We can claim it.
Right. But actually, we set this interview up last week to talk about UAB basketball.
Right.
And an update on UAB football. And it just worked out for us. The big news broke yesterday, I guess it was.
That's right.
And so...
but we make him, you know, he might be willing to touch a little bit on UAB basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Got to give him a little love,
we'll,
you know.
He'll definitely talk about it. He was there at the games, and so he would definitely talk anything UAB.
Absolutely. Hey, Jason, you know, a few minutes ago we went through the 16 teams that are still alive and still vying for, you know, the title of 2014-2015 National Basketball Champions. Those teams have also been ranked, just those top 16. So as we go through them, I'll call them out. You kind of tell me whether you agree with that, you disagree with it, and then you're going to give us the odds, the Vegas odds on this team, this particular team winning it all, okay? So here we go. College basketball Vegas rankings. Number one, you agree or disagree, is the Kentucky Wildcats.
Yeah, I agree. They got to be number one.
That's right.
But if you're going to make any money, Kentucky, probably not the place you want to look because odds, they're a plus 105. And what that means, you have to bet $105 to win 100. So
really what that's
pretty much saying Kentucky's
going to win it.
Right.
From Vegas standards. So that's a very, very safe bet, I guess they're saying that. So now, again, you got to bet $105.
To win 100.
Okay,
if it's
so
plus
if you,
105, if it's plus 110, you would bet 110 to win 100.
But that's usually very odd that if you lose more money than if you won the amount of money you would win. Am I not correct?
I can't even think about what you just said.
You don't understand? You didn't get it? Okay. All right.
Yeah, most of the time, you, if you're betting a game, I think I got it now. If you're betting a game, most of it
you're going to
have what they call juice, and it'd be like -110, -105. If you bet $100, you'll win like 90. Because the bookie's got to make some money, or the online place that you're betting's got to make some money. So.
Right.
Okay. But this one will return you a little bit more than, I'm telling you wrong, Rennie. It's +105. I'm looking at -105. So +105, right. You would be betting like $100 to win $105.
Okay.
You'll win about $5 more on 100 than.
Okay. And that's
pretty
small.
I was thinking minus. Okay. I'm so used to seeing the match.
I got you. Okay, so number one ranked team is Kentucky. Not a much chance to make, you know, if you're going to play for entertainment purposes only, you're not going to make really any money at all, just to be honest.
$5 on 100.
Yeah, $5 on 100. Okay, number two is the Arizona Wildcats. Agree, disagree?
I'm going to disagree and go with Wisconsin, even though Vegas sees it the same way.
Okay.
Vegas has Arizona at a +625, and that tells you what kind of difference they see between the other teams and Kentucky. Bet $100 on Arizona, win $625.
Wow.
So remember, bet $100 on Kentucky, you're winning $105. Yeah. Bet $100 on Arizona, $625.
Wow. But you know, Arizona's awful good.
Oh, yeah, they're good.
You know? Okay. Number three, there's a tie, and this happens to be the one that Jason would disagree and would move to number two, and that's the Wisconsin Badgers. So they're tied with in number three, and the team they're tied with, I'll go ahead and give you that, Jason, it won't come as a surprise probably, is Duke. So the two are tied at three, and that's Wisconsin and Duke.
All right. I'm going to go with Arizona in that spot. Of course, I've got Wisconsin at two and Duke at four, but Vegas – has Duke at three +650. $100 wins you $650. Wisconsin +875. So $100 will win you
$875. I like Wisconsin. I picked Wisconsin. If anybody could beat Kentucky, it would be Wisconsin.
Right. $100 will win you $875.
Yeah, if they beat them and then win the rest of them. Okay. Number five ranked team of the final 16, Gonzaga Bulldogs.
And that's right where Vegas has Gonzaga, and they're a +1,200. So, 100 wins you 1,200.
Wow. Okay. That's not out of the realm of possibility.
No.
It's the best team Gonzaga's probably ever had.
Right.
But on the flip side of that, it's also the best team Kentucky's ever had.
Yeah.
So
I still think Kentucky chokes at some point.
You still think they're going down?
Yep.
Okay.
No reason why, but just – odds got to catch up with
that's it. Well, you're right there, but I think it'll be next season. Number six is the Utah Utes.
Oh, they big disagreement here. Utah is a +3,000 and back at about number 7 or 8 on this.
Really? Okay.
So
100 would win you $3,000. Is that right? If Utah won a national championship.
Right.
Wow. Number seven, North Carolina Tar Heels.
North Carolina +4,000.
Mm. I would think North Carolina would win it before Utah.
Yeah.
If North Carolina could get and stay hot, they could win it.
$100 would win you $4,000. Now, you're tempting me now.
Do you know it?
Don't boo me up much about North Carolina.
If they could get hot and stay hot, they're good enough. They could win the national championship.
So $25 would win you $1,000.
$25.
You talked me into it.
$25 would win you $1,000.
Of course, it's for entertainment purposes,
purposes only. Number eight, the team you like, Wichita State.
Wichita State is going to get not a lot of love as far as the odds.
Okay.
+3,500. They are actually lower odds than North Carolina. So.
That's right, lower odds than North. So 100 would get you what?
3,500.
Okay. Two teams tied at number nine, Oklahoma Sooners and the Michigan State Spartans. Those two just happen to be playing one another as well.
Michigan State +1,500, Oklahoma +2,650. So Oklahoma win $2,650 on $100.
Well, is that less than some of the other teams up through here that we already went through?
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
Vegas has them right behind Louisville at 2,500.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, and Michigan State?
Michigan State is at 6 and Vegas at plus 1,500.
Okay. So. And North Carolina was what? Do that one again.
North Carolina plus 4,000.
So they're saying Michigan State has a better chance of winning the national championship than North Carolina.
Yeah, a good bit.
A substantial
chance.
Difference.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And Vegas are not dummies.
No, yeah.
They make a living at this.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Now, since Michigan State and Oklahoma were tied at 9, we moved to number 11. That's Notre Dame fighting Irish.
Notre Dame plus 3,000. You're getting better odds on North Carolina, another $1,000, than Notre Dame. So,
number 12, Louisville Cardinals.
Louisville plus 2,500.
100 gets you 2,500. Xavier Musketeers, number 13.
Now, here's your one that you probably don't have a chance to win. So
you got a chance.
Yeah, play it low.
Yeah, $5.
Yeah, $8,500. So if you put $5 on it, Xavier.
Uh-huh.
Let's put it in the old computer. $425.
$5 on Xavier winning the whole thing. You're just donating
$5. Yeah, you're just giving
doing.
$5 to
That's
whoever.
That's right. How about the West Virginia Mountaineers? They're number 14.
Plus 8,000.
A million because they're playing Kentucky right now this week.
Plus 8,000.
8,000. Okay. Number 15, North Carolina State.
North Carolina State, actually... A little better than I thought, plus 5,000. So, well, wouldn't it be nice to put $100 and win 5,000?
How about that? Number 16, the UCLA Bruins.
The lowest odds, but the biggest payday,
sure.
Plus 9,000. So,
$9,000.
$100 would win you $9,000 if UCLA can do it.
Okay. And I think I know where you're going with that. Let's throw out Kentucky. Okay, throwing them out. Going through those for entertainment purposes only, and you had one team that you could pick, and only one team, to win the national championship for the money, who would it be?
If I'm wanting a sure payday, I think I would take Duke at plus 650, but if I'm wanting to gamble, I'm not putting a lot of money. I'm going North Carolina.
Absolutely.
Plus 4,000. $100 wins 4,000 tokens. 100 tokens win you 4,000.
And that's
tokens.
With North Carolina Tar Heels. Yeah. And I have seen them when they've looked like they can beat anybody, but on the flip side, even in this tournament.
Oh, yeah.
They may be up 20 at one point, and 10 minutes later or 8 minutes later, that lead is down to about 2 or 3. I mean, it's just Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah, they could win it, or they could get beat 20 the next game.
Right. So there you go.
Hey, that's for what?
Entertainment purposes only.
That's right.
No question.
5:06, 9 minutes away from hopefully Jack's calling if he's not tied up with Fox or ESPN or somebody above our paper.
Somebody that's a whole lot more important than us, that's for sure. So, but again, that's quickly how the final 16 are ranked, and then Jason gave us the odds.
Yeah, the Vegas odds of winning the national championship. And if you want to hear more before you put any coins on this, don't forget Greg Smith will be on with us Thursday, and he will give us some insight on that if you want to take a team to go all the way and win it all. So.
That's exactly right. Hey, I'm going to ask you a couple questions, Jason. I know we got to go to break. Okay, here's my question. Which high-seeded team, North Carolina State, Wichita State, Xavier, UCLA, or Michigan State has the best chance to win this week?
Run by me one more time.
North Carolina State, Wichita State, Xavier, UCLA, or Michigan State? Which one has, in your opinion, has the best chance to win?
I'm going to go with Michigan State.
I was leaning with Michigan State or Wisconsin. I called out another name. Or Wichita State. Those are the two.
I really like Wichita State.
Yeah, I do too. But so since you went with Michigan State, I will go with Wichita State. Okay.
It's hard to go against Michigan State. They've been there. They know what it's all about. And I watch them till get beat 20 since I said that.
Right. So. Okay. My next question. I know we got a couple minutes. Here's my next question. If there's going to be one blowout in the Sweet 16, which one will it be?
Who does Xavier play?
I have to go back to my brackets.
I don't have a bracket in front of me, but I would gamble to just say whoever Xavier plays. Studying it hard.
Is it Arizona?
Yeah, that's my blowout then.
That's your blowout?
Yep.
Xavier getting blown out of Arizona. What about Kentucky blowing out West Virginia?
I don't know. Yeah. It could happen, but boy, Cincinnati gave Kentucky all they wanted for a half, a little over a half, and then kind of let it get away from them. But,
I don't think there's any question. I think we both agree. There's going to be at least one and probably maybe two to three higher seeds advance after this weekend.
Yep. And just as we said all the number ones and twos wouldn't be there.
That's right.
And they're thinning out.
That's right. And the two, and we just mentioned this, but the two I think have the best chance is Wichita State and Michigan State advancing. And both of those are seven seeds. So they could be in the elite.
And what
eight.
Was UConn last year? They were seven or eight.
Yeah, they were seven or an eight, something like that. You know, they just got hot at the right time, and that's the thing. Any of these teams, well, most of these teams, 10 out of these teams right now, if they can get hot, have a chance. Just a chance.
Yeah.
Kentucky's going to have to play poorly to get beat. I think we all agree with that. They're going to have to make mistakes. They're going to have to turn it over. They're going to have to get in foul trouble, get people hurt, shoot the ball horribly, and any of those things can happen. But if they play up to their potential, in my mind, they're playing. Everybody else is playing for that two spot.
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with you on that one. All right, if Jay will take us away to our next break, we'll come back and be ready for Representative Jack Williams. Talk a little UAB football, or should we say the lack of UAB football. I think Jay has got sidetracked now, so there he is. We'll be right back with Jack Williams, hopefully in the next 5 minutes, so stay with us. You're going to want to hear what he has to say. You're listening to Sports Talk Live 95.5, Coleman, Alabama.
From the ARN News Center, I'm Derek Scudder. Documents released by State Representative Jack Williams show that despite the claim UAB President Ray Watts has made that a decision to end the school's football, bowling, and rifle programs was not made until November, a public relations firm working with UAB had already put a timeline in motion for announcing the end of those programs in September. A former sheriff's deputy who was a school resource officer has been indicted on charges that he sexually abused a student more than a decade ago. A Jackson County grand jury this month indicted Lee Perry on 9 counts of sexual offenses. Perry was a school resource officer at Skyline School in 2003 and 2004. A federal court has ruled in favor of two environmental groups. Black Warrior Riverkeeper and Defenders of Wildlife sued the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in 2013 over a general permit that allows surface mining operations to discharge dredged materials into streams. This is the Alabama Radio Network. State House Speaker Mike Hubbard is facing 23 felony ethics charges of using his public office for financial gain. Meanwhile, he's claimed there were problems in the investigation against him and violations of the Grand Jury Secrecy Act. State prosecutors have asked a judge to block his efforts to subpoena Attorney General Luther Strange to testify and to reject his motion to dismiss those charges. Joyce Garrard has been convicted of capital murder, and now her defense team begins presenting their case to spare her life from a death sentence. The 49-year-old Etowah County grandmother has been found guilty of running her 9-year-old granddaughter, Savannah Harden, to death as a punishment. A North Alabama woman with a past drug arrest is working as a case manager for an alternative sentencing program. Hartzell resident Brandy Steele is working with the Morgan County Community Corrections Office years after her 2008 arrest on a charge of possessing methamphetamine.
Her charge was dismissed after she successfully completed a drug court, but the county has a policy against hiring employees with a drug history. I'm Derek Scudder, ARN News. In sports, while we're waiting for the NCAA Tournament Sweet 16 games later this week, the first two quarterfinal games in the NIT are this evening. Miami plays at Richmond, and Stanford plays host to Vanderbilt. The remaining games are tomorrow night with Murray State playing at Old Dominion and Temple at home to Louisiana Tech. Arizona State has fired head coach Herb Sendek after 9 seasons. He led the Sun Devils to the NCAA tournament for the first time in 5 years last season, but the team took a step back this year. The team missed the NCAA tournament and lost their second-round NIT game on Sunday. Sendek previously coached at North Carolina State and Miami of Ohio. Mississippi State introduces its new basketball coach today. The Bulldogs have hired former UCLA coach Ben Howland. Howland led the UCLA Bruins to 3 straight Final Four appearances from 2006 to 2008. He's been out of coaching and working as a TV analyst since being fired in 2013. I'm Derek Scudder, ARN News.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
Welcome back, 5:14, and right on time, Representative Jack Williams with us. Hey, Representative Williams, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
Thank you. Hey, I appreciate the opportunity to be on with you guys.
Jack, my partner in crime today and full-time is Ronnie Barnes here with us. Ronnie, a long-time principal at Viamont High School, basketball coach, so got him to keep me straight.
I think, Ronnie, we met at the county tournament, if I remember correctly.
That's right. We sure did. Good to hear from you again, too.
Well, everybody's been getting their fair share hearing from you this week.
For a very good reason, I might add.
Boy, you are a popular guy, Jack.
Just depends on who you're talking to.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. Hey, catch the folks here in Coleman up to speed on what has happened. Big news has broken. As we Ronnie said, you're all over the news. ESPN has an article stating what you have said. So tell us what's happened.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, while I was on hold, I got a call from ESPN, and I was trying to text him back and tell him I'd call him when I got off this interview before.
And boy, I like that.
Before that.
We feel privileged for sure.
But last week, I introduced 3 bills in the Alabama legislature related to UAB. One that would require sex and ethics training for board members, require them to reveal any business dealings with other board members. A second bill to restructure the University of Alabama system board of trustees. And a third bill that would bring football back to UAB as long as they have football in Tuscaloosa. And I got home from Montgomery on Friday, and I had someone that I know contact me who knew someone within the administration, and they gave me a binder that had 125 pages in it, and about 30 or 40 pages of it was made up of correspondence between Car Sports and a New York public relations firm called Sart Verbinnen and Company, indicating that a decision had been with letters dated in early September and timelines dating back into August that indicated that the decision to kill UAB football was most likely made before football season ever cranked up and quite possibly made last spring or early summer.
Wow.
That doesn't fit with the narrative that Ray Watts has delivered consistently through the fall.
Representative, that's what I was going to say, was that doesn't fall in line with anything that President Watts or anyone who wanted to do away with UAB football. Those things just do not mesh, do they?
No, there's just no way to and no way to get those to line up. So I I was on, I did a press conference yesterday morning, provided the documentation in full to the media. AL.com, Kevin Starbinski with AL.com, wrote about it and wrote a very extensive piece on it yesterday. Kyle Whitmire with AL.com wrote about it. It was picked up by John Solomon at CBS College Sports and Gene Wojciechowski from ESPN, and then picked up on other internet sites around around the internet. And Dr. Watts issued a statement yesterday attacking me for, said I was lying, but then never could figure out what I said that was untrue. And, he kind of doubled down on his story that didn't have credibility yesterday. It doesn't seem to have credibility today. Dr. Witt, the chancellor of the UA system, issued a statement saying my comments were riddled with inaccuracies, but then never said what the inaccuracies were. And so, you know, and Ronnie, Jason, my position is if I'm wrong, then Ray Watts and or Robert Witt ought to be on your radio show explaining why I'm wrong and answering questions about those right. documents. But they can't do it because they know I'm right.
And that makes it very difficult to, you know, it makes it almost impossible. Well, it makes it impossible for them to defend it other than just making generic statements that you're telling lies.
Well, you know, I'm not a rich guy, so I can't afford to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars of my own money or the taxpayers' money. I don't have access to hundreds of thousands of dollars of the taxpayers' money
right.
To spend on public relations consultants, so I just have to tell the truth.
Boy, yeah, that's something new for a politician, Jack.
Well, you know where I was raised, yeah. So it kind of came with the territory. And you know who raised me.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, let me ask you this. You've had pretty strong words for President Watts, and going as far as saying the president is lying to the board, faculty, students, and the community at large. Do you still stand by that statement?
Yes, I do. Not only do I stand by that statement, but last night the National Alumni Society joined the undergraduates and graduate students and the faculty senate at UAB in calling for Dr. Watts' resignation. And this afternoon at 3:00, the editorial board from AL.com released an editorial calling for Dr. Watts to step down.
Boy, the handwriting is on the wall. Ronnie and I were talking during the break, and, you know, we're putting ourselves in Watts' position, and hey, I'm out of town. I mean, he has made enough enemies yeah. that he don't need anymore.
No, I'd be out there.
Yeah.
Well,
do you see that happening?
Eventually, yes. And I think it's days or weeks, not weeks or months, because he's got no credibility. I mean, AL.com columnist yesterday wrote that his credibility was so bad that he said if he came and beat on my door at night yelling my house was on fire, I'd roll over and go back to sleep.
You know, and once anybody in a position of authority that happens to them, it's over. There's no yeah. recapping. There's no going back. There's no recapturing, you know, people's trust like that. It's just, it is what it is, and it's over.
Well, it's unfortunate because when Ray Watts would, I mean, even in Carol Garrison's last 2 years as president, it was pretty much common knowledge that there would be a nationwide search for her successor and they would name Ray Watts. I mean, it was just, it was talked about as if it were as inevitable as the sun coming up tomorrow.
Right.
And Carol Garrison lasted 10 years as president of UAB. That is a lifetime as a university right. president. I mean, it's unheard of. The average university president is around longer than the Baptist pastor, or shorter than the Baptist pastor. And I'm Baptist, so I'm not being, yeah.
right,
I'm not
exactly.
throwing rocks. I thought, and everybody thought, Dr. Watts would be a superstar, just a rock star, and that he would be able to get the board to go along and do things that Dr. Garrison had not been able to win their support on, particularly in athletics, and that he would take our research to new heights. And he kind of came in and approached this from an either-or perspective. We can either be a great research institution, or we can have athletics.
Right.
We can have football. But we can't do both. And he's never made the case. He never made the case for why you can't do both. And the reason he has no credibility to make that case is he never made an attempt to make athletics work. He came in and did a study and said, well, based on the study, we know this won't work. Now, the problem is he spent over a year telling folks that this study would answer questions for us. And then in the documents that were released, during the question and answer section, one of the question and answer sections this New York public relations firm provided asked who made this decision, and it says the administration made this decision, and Carr Sports was brought in to validate the decision. Well, validating a decision and doing a study, an analysis, and determining which way you should go are two different things.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, when this first happened and they did away with the football program, and I told Jason, I said, this will be in the news for a couple of weeks. It'll blow over and, you know, it'll be done with. But it is not, and you deserve credit for keeping on the forefront, and it is just gaining momentum and gaining steam. I mean, it's beginning to steamroll, and you deserve the credit for that.
Well, there have been a lot of folks involved. I just happened to be in a position where folks in the media will give me an opportunity
right.
to speak up for folks that are being bullied. And in all honesty, folks at UAB feel like they're bullied by the Board of Trustees.
Sure.
We had before the last board meeting in February, we had a board member who was on the public radio station at WBHM here, the public station at UAB, and he talked about over the last 10 years, this board had authorized like $140 million in projects at UAB. What he failed to mention was during that same time period, they'd spent over $1 billion in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
If you'll watch Dr. Witt and the board, whenever they talk about how much money they spend at UAB, they never put it in the context of how much money spent anywhere else.
Right.
They do the same thing when talking about the money they spend at UAH.
Exactly. You know, and one thing for me, the timing of killing the football program right now, when certainly this year I think they won 6 games, if I'm not in,
that's correct.
The timing is horrible to kill a program when it has been bad. I mean, it's been really, really bad, and all of a sudden, you know, there's some excitement. They've won 6 games. Their coaching staff, I believe, had things headed in the right direction, given a little time, and then they could compete in their conference. But you know, you win 2 or 3 games a year, maybe, and then all of a sudden you win 6, and they cut you loose. It makes no sense to somebody on the outside like me.
Well, let's be honest, guys. For 9 years, UAB had just been god awful. They had not had a season with over 5 wins.
Yeah.
Since 2004, and now the year they had 5 wins, they led or were within a touchdown. I think that was 2008 or 2000. I think it's 2008, 2009. They led or were within a touchdown going midway through the fourth quarter of all but 2 games. And one of the major publications voted them the most exciting football team in America that year. That was the year they lost to Tennessee in 5 overtimes. They were leading Mississippi State late in the fourth quarter and had a stupid penalty, a good call, but a stupid penalty that put Mississippi State in great field position, and Mississippi State scores and wins. And I mean, they lost a game when the winning field goal was blocked. They lost a game because an extra point to tie it and put it in overtime was blocked. I mean, the ways UAB found invented to lose football games was creative, to say the least. But with bad football, we had a base of 11 or 12,000 fans that you couldn't run off. And this year, with just 6 wins,
right,
they increased attendance by 130%. But the numbers used to determine the fate are not used to determine, but the numbers used in the bogus Carr report were from 2013, and they refused to consider any numbers from 2014. They said that, you know, that data wasn't complete.
Right.
Jack, let me run this by and make sure that we're thinking about this correctly, and correct me anywhere I'm wrong after I say this, but what, to make people feel just a little bit dirtier, what we are talking about is the powers to be at UAB hired a new football coach, brought in a new staff, and shortly after, they are already considering, if not decided, to kill the program and leave these guys out of work, offered scholarships to kids, and knowing pretty much, hey, this football team is done after this season. And then, not only that, they have lied about when the decision was made and hired a public relations firm to back up their decision instead of hiring them to study it before they make a decision.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. I mean, Bill Clark, they agreed to the terms on the contract, and when he got on campus, they said, oh, by the way, this is only a 3-year deal. Now, a standard contract for any new hire in college football, especially someone taking over a program as bad as he was,
right,
is 5 years.
Absolutely.
And they told him 3 years was non-negotiable. What he didn't know was they only had a 1-year deal with Legion Field, and they had no games scheduled for after 2016.
Now, that tells you something.
You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out what's going on.
Because these college schedules are not made a week prior. So where does it go from here, Jack? I know you've introduced the Bills. What do you see happening? Is there a chance that UAB fields a football team again?
I think they field a football team again in 2016.
Well, that'd be great.
Because I think the public pressure is going to be so great on board members and on legislators that they're not going to be able to ignore this. Right. And I believe that this board at some point is going to say, we're really tired of our actions creating such a national embarrassment.
Right.
Because it is creating a national embarrassment. Let me tell you guys, the worst case scenario for Dr. Watts and this board was UAB winning the Conference USA tournament.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And it was Dr. Watts' absence at the conference tournament was a major story. The folks calling the games talked about it on national television because they had to explain why in the background you heard the fans chanting Fire Ray Watts.
Yes, yes.
He shows up at Louisville and hangs out outside the locker room where all the reporters are and tells folks, oh, this isn't about me. Well, then leave and let the players get the attention.
Right.
But it's going to continue to grow. I don't know if you guys saw the story, but 2 weeks ago tomorrow, Governor Bentley was speaking to a group of, 2 weeks ago from tomorrow, yeah, Governor Bentley was speaking to a group of nurses in Montgomery, a group of nursing students, and there were probably 200 or 300 kids there, and they were all wearing scrubs that matched with their school colors. There was a group there in blue, and they were from Auburn, a group there in red from Jacksonville State, and half the room was in green. And Governor Bentley says, now, all you folks in the back, where are you guys from? And they said, oh, we're from UAB. And Governor Bentley, who's from Tuscaloosa and a member of the UA System Board of Trustees, says, you guys got a football team up there?
Oh, my goodness.
And he just about got booed off the stage.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, one of the, he said, well, hang on. I was just joking. It was just a joke.
Yeah.
And one of the kids yelled out, well, we're not laughing. This is not a joke, and that's not funny.
And, then, and they're right.
I found out about it. I wrote the governor a letter, a very respectful letter, and asked him to apologize
right.
to the students. I thought that was appropriate. And in my letter, I said, these kids didn't go to Montgomery. When they went to Montgomery, they were not expecting to be ridiculed by the governor or the butt of some cruel joke.
Sure.
Right. And, you don't think about that.
I don't think Governor Bentley is a mean-spirited, malicious person. I think he's a very, very nice, honorable Christian man.
Just per choice.
But the fact that he would make that joke demonstrates the disconnect between the University of Alabama board that he chairs and this community, because they all think it's a joke. Or they don't figure, I mean, I'm telling you, I talked to board members at the last board meeting, and I would not get into specifics about what I spoke with any board member, because those were private conversations. But I'll tell you, the overall thing that came out of that is they can't even figure out why folks are mad here.
Hey, wouldn't it be a easy solve, and I know the process wouldn't be easy, but why does UAB not have its own board? Why are they governed by the same board that the University of Alabama in Tuscaloosa is governed?
It would require a constitutional amendment to change that. But I'll tell you, there's strong feeling for that. Guys, we spent the last 3 weeks polling the state of Alabama and polling, asking a brief survey to try and find out what people thought about UAB. And let me just give you the results from Coleman County.
Okay. Far away.
In Coleman County, we polled 743 people. 73% felt like UAB should have its own football team. 45% had a negative view of the University of Alabama Board of Trustees. And 72% thought UAB should have its own board.
Wow.
That's strong.
Wow.
Just north of you in Morgan County, those numbers are 72% for football. The board had a 41%, a 59% favorable rating in Morgan County, but 75% felt like UAB should have its own board. I mean, there's
overwhelming support.
There's strong and statewide. Let me just give you that, and then I'll stop reciting numbers because I know folks don't want to hear that. But statewide, we interviewed 45,500 people, a little over that. For football, 74%. The board's favorability rating was only 51%, and the UAB having its own board had 77% support. And I think there are some advantages to the system, and that the system can be a good thing if it's healthy and balanced. But what I have said in interviews down here, and Dr. Karen Brooks, the chairman of the board in the February board meeting, talked about the three campuses as if they were her children. And you know, you love all your children equally. You don't favor one over the other. And people in Birmingham find that laughable.
Jack, but I'm sitting here thinking, like, before you said that, I'm thinking I just took my granddaughter to see the live version of the real version of Cinderella.
Yeah.
And I am picturing UAB being Cinderella, sitting at home for the ball while the other girl goes out and enjoys herself. But you know how that story ends.
And you know, my message here has been, if we're a family, we better get in family counseling or we're going to wind up in divorce.
Absolutely.
But guys, think about this. I mean, I don't know if y'all are Alabama or Auburn fans, but I think anybody in this state, irrespective of their allegiance, would have a hard time arguing that there's not a greater, over the years, football machine, and the really the ultimate college football experience is in Tuscaloosa. Notre Dame might rival that,
sure.
but Tuscaloosa has put something together. It's the closest thing to professional football
right.
there is, in outside of the NFL. And it's mind-boggling to think that within that same system, 60 miles away, you've got a group that has had some good years. And I mean, and we may have talked about this last time, but the 5, 6, and 7 team in the college football playoffs poll last year was TCU, Baylor, and Mississippi State.
Right.
In 2004, UAB beat Mississippi State by 2 touchdowns. They beat TCU and Baylor by more than 3 touchdowns.
Right.
And but now we don't even have a team, but even when we had a team, we were probably in the bottom 10% of the 129 Division I football teams.
Right.
And to see that disparity in the same system, and a lot of it exists because of the creation of the athletic committee, which has been used to put a boot on the throat of UAB athletics. We were the only Division I football program in the country, FBS Division I football program in the country, with no athletic debt for 5 consecutive years.
Wow.
From 2008 to 2013.
Wow. Boy, that's very uncommon, because many of your, you know, D1 football programs run major league, you know, in the hole.
About 20 colleges make money off football. Now, Alabama or Auburn are 2 of them.
Right.
But out of 129, most of them run a deficit. But you think, well, if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. But look at the benefits that come from this. Let me give you one example, if I could.
Sure.
Let's and you know, I'm in politics, so I know I do the advertising thing. The cost for advertising and television advertising rates are all based on what your points are, how many, and that's tied to viewership. And I don't ask me to explain it because I can't. But points are important. 110, and it's $110 a point in the last political campaign. That's the lowest unit rate. $110 a political point to advertise in the Birmingham market. If UAB were on. It only covered by the local television stations 4 times a week, but they were on the 5, 6, and 10 o'clock news, and it was only 30 seconds. That would be 48 times a week they were on, and to buy 48 commercials, 30-second commercials, at $110 a pop for 12 weeks,
yeah,
is $6.3 million. That's free advertising.
Wow.
And those numbers are incredibly conservative. That doesn't include the fact that these stories are really about a minute and a half on average, because there's game stories and all that. I'm telling you, what it costs, UAB is going to lose, is giving, pushing away so much money, because next fall, nobody's going to be talking about UAB.
No.
You're right. I want to read you. You may have saw this on my Facebook page, but give you a little taste of what some Coleman County people think. Laura York Long writes, Jack says, let me find it again here. Thank you for covering this travesty. What the UA system, Board of Trustees, is doing to UAB and UAH campus is appalling. There is a ton of dirt to dig in, so... Hey, I think you have got a ton of support,
yeah,
and I think people would welcome a constitutional amendment if it takes it to whatever we have to do to get UAB back on the field and get this thing running as it should be.
Well, guys, the information that I released on Monday, like I said, came to me through a third party, and they asked the person to tell me the reason they were giving it to me is because their conscience would not allow them to continue to perpetuate the lie that was coming out of
right.
the administration. And their only request was that I not let this get buried as a Birmingham story, but I make it a national story.
Well, you've done the job well.
We've been successful with that. But today, I had someone else call me with some other information that's going to demonstrate that things that we've been told are not matching up. And I suspect by the first of next week, there'll be another story coming out that that talks about how the things that we've been led to believe in the narrative that's been created aren't actually factual.
Wow. Hey, Jack, if I could change gears just for a minute, and I, sure. I know your time is precious. What does this decision with dropping, with canceling football, what effect is that potentially going to have on the basketball team, which right now, and Jason and I already talked, UAB basketball is the best basketball in the state of Alabama, and it's not even close. I certainly believe next year, if they can stay healthy and if Coach Hass stays there, I believe they can get to the Sweet 16. I just fully believe that. But what is this fiasco that's taking place going to do to the basketball program?
That's a great question, and it's taking money away from the program for one reason. For one thing, because football is what brought in the most money, and I'm going to get ultimately to the basketball thing, but Dr. Watts, in order to stay in Conference USA next year, has offered to give up UAB's conference revenue this year and next year with what we're paying in scholarships, coaches' salaries, and what we're paying to buy out games next year. It's going to cost UAB $10 million to shut down football.
Golly.
That ain't chump change.
No, it's not.
So that's money that's taken away from basketball and baseball and softball and soccer,
right?
Volleyball, which are all great programs at UAB. But the astounding thing about this document and what we found out is Conference USA had no idea that UAB was doing this. They heard rumors. But Dr. Watts, no one in the administration was in contact with Conference USA. And based on what we were told and what others were told, if they'd been in contact, they wouldn't have been told the truth. But there was no plan. There was no contingency plan. I mean, Conference USA is a football conference. And they were like, well, they'll let us stay in. Well, no, they're not.
No.
We'll probably be in next year. But if we don't get the football issue resolved, we may wind up in the Atlantic Sun, which would absolutely devastate our athletic program.
Yeah, you don't want any part of that.
And let me remind you, 10 years ago, UAB was in the league with and was beating teams. I mean, in the past 10 or 12 years, we've got wins over Cincinnati, Louisville. I'm talking about football and basketball.
Right.
Cincinnati, Louisville, TCU, South Florida, Central Florida. Those were Memphis. Those were our peers. I mean, for years, we owned Memphis in football.
Right.
And those were our peers. And we're going to wind up in a league with schools that you hear about them, and you can't even tell what state they're in.
Exactly. Yeah. And what's your travel cost going to cost you, you know, when you go to a different league that your closest game may be, I don't know, I'm just throwing this out, it might be 500-800 miles away.
Yeah. I mean, this whole plan document that I laid out, that I gave to the media today, this whole plan, Dr. Watts referred to it as just one contingency. They were hired to talk about different scenarios, how to handle different scenarios. But there's no talk in there anywhere about what are you going to do about conference affiliation.
Right.
Jack, I even read in one of the articles where they go as far as talk about how they're going to handle closing the program if UAB has a winning season.
Yep.
I mean, that blows my mind.
Oh, listen. Look through there. There's a handout for student athletes that that talks about closing it in the middle of the season, and it encourages them to, if you win out, it won't change the decision, but you may get a scholarship somewhere else if you impress folks. So don't play for your team, play for yourself.
And
play for the seniors. They deserve, they've earned the right, and they deserve to have a good season. And, well, why then is the administration trying to destroy that season?
Now, how about this? UAB, those kids deserve the scholarship and the chance to play football as UAB offered them the scholarship. And, yeah, I know they're keeping their scholarship, but, you know, these guys are football players. They want to play football first and then the classroom second, most of them. So.
You know, guys, one of the things that and Jason, it sounds like you have, you look through that document, you kept seeing the phrase, UAB football has a unique set of circumstances. Yes, that unique set of circumstances is the board and the administration were working against their best interest.
Right.
But on that document for these kids, it said it concluded. One section concluded with show heart, work hard, and it said demonstrate hard work, strong work ethic, loyalty and dedication. And this is a situation that you will benefit from the rest of your life in every job interview when you show how you handled an adverse and difficult situation.
Loyalty and dedication.
Yeah, something they weren't getting from the UAB administration.
Right, exactly.
Oh, wow.
Hey, before we let you go, and man, Jack, I can't tell you how much we appreciate you have been on with us 34 minutes. It seems like 4 minutes.
I know. And we're sorry that we can't.
Yeah, we did not mean to keep you this long.
I appreciate the opportunity to be on and talk. This story's got to be told.
That was my next question. What do the common folks, like Ronnie and I, the people here in Coleman County, what could they do to get involved, or what would be the best course of action for people to take?
Contact your legislators, ask them to support my legislation, and like the board.
All right. Okay, let's end on a high note. UAB basketball. What a tournament. Man, I thought they might get the win over UCLA, come up a little bit short, but still an impressive showing.
That's such a promising team. Randy Norton is got ice in his veins, and Chris Coakley and William Lee, all these guys are true freshmen. They are going to be monsters as they develop. Yeah. Tosin Mahinty is a sophomore. We got this Williams kid from Homewood who went to junior college coming in next year. Hakeem Baxter is found his rhythm once we got into conference play. Denzel Watts is a great 1-2 guard. You've got Lewis Sullivan and Jarvis Calhoun that I think are going to develop into really good players. Tyler Madison brings so much energy off the bench. He's a slim Charles Barkley. He had 9 offensive rebounds against Iowa State.
They were the youngest team in the tournament.
Yes, and the third youngest team in the nation, NCAA.
Right.
Started the year with 7 years NCAA experience. And then they had C.J. Washington, who last year had to carry this team some nights. He averaged like 13, 14 points a game last season. And C.J.'s role changed dramatically this year. And a lot of senior guys would have pouted and just got buried on the bench because they didn't like their role. And CJ came in and he busted his fanny every night, getting rebounds. He didn't shoot the ball as well. I mean, even his layups were scary sometimes. But he played with such heart, and he became a real leader on that team just because, as a senior, he accepted. And it goes back to that little handout I was talking about before. Coach Hass was committed to C.J. Washington and seeing him develop in the context of seeing this team develop. And he didn't bury C.J. He didn't try and run him off. He found a role where C.J. could be successful and the team could be successful. And that's what a good leader does. And that's the difference in Jared Haas and Ray Watts, because Ray Watts couldn't find a way for everybody to be successful, so he just jettisoned off football, rifle, and bowling.
Absolutely. And, you know, the sad part about it is Jared Haas, you know, certainly he's probably going to be there another year, and if they have a good year, it may be very difficult unless this situation is resolved and football's back. It may be very, very hard to keep him in Birmingham, and you can't blame him.
No, you can't, and I keep telling him we're working on solving this.
Sure. Absolutely.
Representative, again, thank you so much for joining us. I can't think of another politician. I can't think of anybody else that would have spent this much time with a Coleman radio station talking about UAB.
Absolutely.
But, hey, you have our respect, our support, and anything we can do to help you in the future, just let us know, and we'll do anything we can to help this cause.
Guys, thank you so much. If folks want more information, they can follow me on Twitter. It's Rep Jack. Or it's I've got a Facebook page, Jack Williams. They can follow me there.
So. Okay, sounds great, and I hope we can call on you again.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you. All right.
Wow, wasn't that a great guy?
Awesome, I'm talking about it. When you can get a state representative to spend, let's see, 38 minutes.
40 minutes with you.
Impressive.
That's right.
We'll be right back, close out today, and talk a little bit more about what Representative Jack Williams had to say. You're listening to Sports Talk Live 95.5 Coleman.
From the ARN News Center, I'm Derek Scudder. Documents released by State Representative Jack Williams show that despite the claim UAB President Ray Watts has made that a decision to end the school's football, bowling, and rifle programs was not made until November, a public relations firm working with UAB had already put a timeline in motion for announcing the end of those programs in September. A former sheriff's deputy who was a school resource officer has been indicted on charges that he sexually abused a student more than a decade ago. A Jackson County grand jury this month indicted Lee Perry on 9 counts of sexual offenses. Perry was a school resource officer at Skyline School in 2003 and 2004. A federal court has ruled in favor of 2 environmental groups. Black Warrior Riverkeeper and Defenders of Wildlife sued the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in 2013 over a general permit that allows surface mining operations to discharge dredged materials into streams. This is the Alabama Radio Network. State House Speaker Mike Hubbard is facing 23 felony ethics charges of using his public office for financial gain. Meanwhile, he's claimed there were problems in the investigation against him and violations of the Grand Jury Secrecy Act. State prosecutors have asked a judge to block his efforts to subpoena Attorney General Luther Strange to testify and to reject his motion to dismiss those charges. Joyce Garrard has been convicted of capital murder, and now her defense team begins presenting their case to spare her life from a death sentence. The 49-year-old Etowah County grandmother has been found guilty of running her 9-year-old granddaughter, Savannah Hardin, to death as a punishment. A North Alabama woman with a past drug arrest is working as a case manager for an alternative sentencing program. Hartzell resident Brandy Steele is working with the Morgan County Community Corrections Office years after her 2008 arrest on a charge of possessing methamphetamine. Her charge was dismissed after she successfully completed a drug court, but the county has a policy against hiring employees with a drug history. I'm Derek Scudder, ARN News. In sports, while we're waiting for the NCAA Tournament Sweet 16 games later this week, the first 2 quarterfinal games in the NIT are this evening. Miami plays at Richmond, and Stanford plays host to Vanderbilt. The remaining games are tomorrow night with Murray State playing at Old Dominion and Temple at home to Louisiana Tech. Arizona State has fired head coach Herb Sendek after 9 seasons. He led the Sun Devils to the NCAA tournament for the first time in 5 years last season, but the team took a step back this year. The team missed the NCAA tournament and lost their second-round NIT game on Sunday. Sendek previously coached at North Carolina State and Miami of Ohio. Mississippi State introduces its new basketball coach today. The Bulldogs have hired former UCLA coach Ben Howland. Allen led the UCLA Bruins to 3 straight Final Four appearances from 2006 to 2008. He's been out of coaching and working as a TV analyst since being fired in 2013. I'm Derek Scudder, ARN News.
Back with you, Sports Talk Live, and Money, we're down to about 3 minutes. But
we're on the short roads.
Any thoughts on the interview?
Wow, you know, I mean, what else can you say other than have a state representative who's willing to call, you know, you and I here at a little local radio station in Coleman, and then be willing to spend 40 minutes with us talking about the situation in UAB football. And you can share with folks, he just got a call before he went on with us from someone much larger than us.
ESPN, and he actually put ESPN off because he had already made the commitment to us.
Yeah.
And that says it all for me.
Yeah, absolutely. When you're talking about, you know, sports networking, sports business, I mean, ESPN is as big as it gets.
We will always be able to see that ESPN was turned down to talk to
us. They had to get in the back seat on this bus, didn't they?
That's right. Hey, stick with Live 95.
That's right. I'll tell you where it was liable to take you.
Coming up on Thursday, Ronnie, we're going to have basketball galore. We'll have, hopefully, Dan will join us, Dan the Man, at about 4:45. But before that, Greg Smith. And we'll talk a little bit about who to play in this tournament and how to make a few coins out of it.
For entertainment purposes only.
Yeah, for entertainment purposes only.
That's right. And then Rex Chambers, hopefully, as always, on Thursdays about 5:30, our local fishing pro slash expert, whatever you want to use, is with us every week.
Boy, it's getting weather for
you. Exactly. I saw they had the tournament weigh-in. They had Eric was telling me about it. I think the winning weights at Gunnersville this past weekend was 80 something pounds.
How many months did they fish?
2 days, I think. And on one day alone, the last final day weigh-in, some guy weighed in well over 33 pounds.
Wow.
So 5:30 Thursday. If you want a few tips about how to put some more fish in your boat, Rex will help you there.
All right. Before we go out, let me say this. Here is a surprise moolah clue. We didn't ever give another one, so here it is.
Okay.
Brought to you by People's Bank. If you're looking for moolah, you might look in a wooden area, a wooden building. A wooden building. Outside is made of wood.
So. That's it.
All right, until Thursday, I'm going to leave you with a big, how about this, go Blazers.
Go Blazers. I'll go with you there, too.
All right.
Go Blazers.
We're going to agree on that, and we will talk to you Thursday. Please join us again. You've been listening to Sports Talk Live 95.5, Coleman's Independent Radio Station.
Hey, gonna get you! one bites the dust, yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust, yeah.
Listening to Live 95 WRJM LP Coleman.